Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I hear you talking, yes I do, but you talk, 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 and it don't ring true. In them great big eyes, I hear you talking wise, but don't believe a word you say. You say that I'm your honey love, that I'm all you're thinking of. I hear you talking dove, but you ain't been fooling me. I hear you talking,
I hear you talking.
Oh yes I do, but you talk, 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 and it don't ring true.
Band, I hear you talking, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host Gary Holt, and I'm flying solo today. Our co-host Bobby Bell is a little under the weather, so we hope Bobby is feeling much, much better, and will be with us next week on the show. We have a great show lined up for you today. Our first guest is Mr. Tim Elliott, a great rising star on the country music scene. And in the second hour, we'll be joined by our good friends with Backcountry Horsemen of America. As always, Mr. Jim McGarvey, past national chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America, Chuck Miller, and Karen Phillips will be his guest. But we're going to take a listen right now to a song that has been requested by our audience. It's a great song by the Henningsons, and it's called Sugar Rush. So let's take a listen to that.
for shizzle. You got the cure for my condition. You are the drug for my addiction. I'm on a high and I'll tell you I'm gonna love you till I die with true conviction. Baby, you're a keeper, my honey, only sweeter. I never knew I'd like you this much. I catch a buzz when you walk by. You come around, I come alive. You hit me like a sugar rush. If I'm ever gonna come down, I'm gonna crash into you. If I'm ever gonna come down, I'm gonna crash into you. Baby, you're the keeper, my honey, only sweeter. I've ever knew I'd like you this much. I catch a buzz when you walk by. You come around, I come alive. You hit me like a sugar.
The Henningtons, and it is Sugar Rush. Well, our first guest today is Mr. Tim Elliott. Tim is known as a powerhouse artist in the southeastern United States and was recently voted Carolina's Male Country Artist of the Year. Tim's latest single, I Got You, was released in 2018 and is climbing the country charts. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, my friend. Doing very well. So we're glad to have you with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here. Glad y'all had me on.
Yeah. Hey, tell us a little bit about you. We always try to let our guest tell something about their background for our audience. And so where are you from? Where'd you grow up? How'd you get started in music?
Yeah, I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina, a little town called West Jefferson, which is just outside of Boone, North Carolina, which a lot of people know Boone because of ASU, the college there. But I started playing when I was about 8 years old, bluegrass and bluegrass gospel music around the churches. And then, of course, we had Saturday night jams at my grandma's house every Saturday. The family would come over and we would just all sit around and play music. And from there, somehow I ended up in honky tonks. I'm not real sure how I made that connection just yet, but we ended up there. So. But, just grew up small town kid, you know, blue collar, worked a whole life. My grandfather was a coal miner from West Virginia and kind of brought the family down here from the coal fields of West Virginia and country life, farm life, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Did you start out with country music or did you have something else that you were playing? I know you said bluegrass, but, how did you
bluegrass
make
bluegrass and bluegrass gospel music? Yeah.
Well, yeah. So
of course, the Saturday nights, we would, it would be a lot of bluegrass and gospel stuff, and then a lot of classic country stuff. My grandparents always liked, Merle and Waylon and all that stuff. So it's kind of been part of who I am, I guess, since I was young. You know, it was just all we ever heard was either gospel, bluegrass, or classic country music. So.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
From there,
well, who were some? Yeah. Go ahead.
From there, just ended up playing, I think I played my first honky-tonk when I was about 17 years old, wasn't even old enough to get in the business. I think the guy gave me like $30 or something to come play acoustic guitar one random Friday night or something, and I guess I got hooked from there.
Yeah. So who were your musical influences for the country music?
On the country side, the classic stuff, of course, Jones and Haggard and Willie Nelson, all, just tremendous songwriters, always been really really attracted, I guess, more to the song sometimes than the artist. I really, really like the way the song's put together. I found it very interesting. But, of course, growing up as a kid in the 90s, you know, it was Shenandoah and Alan Jackson, and then Garth Brooks came along and changed the world as we all know it.
Oh, yeah.
I think all those guys kind of molded me to the artist I am today, and still trying to keep in mind those, you know, bluegrass roots from growing up in the mountains of North Carolina and from the coal fields of West Virginia, all that bluegrass heritage music in there too. So a lot of different influences floating around in there, I think.
Yeah. Well, this first song that we want to get to today is one called What's Not to Love. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
That song, the first time I heard that song, it had just such a cool backbeat to it, and I just really thought it would go over well. We play a ton of live shows up and down the East Coast, from Virginia all the way down to Southern Florida and Georgia, Tennessee, just this whole Southeast region. And you know, the live shows have been a huge part of this whole business as it grows, is being able to connect, you know, with real fans on a grassroots level, you know, real fans that come out and buy tickets and see shows. And I just thought the song would go over so good in our live show performance. And then I took it to our producer, who is Kent Wells there in Nashville, and, you know, sit down with Kent, and he just knocked it out of the park completely.
Well, this is a great song. Let's take a listen to What's Not to Love, and we'll come back and talk more with Tim Elliott on the Campfire Cafe.
Lord have mercy, look at my baby. She drives me 455 kinds of crazy. She's so good looking, it ought to be a law. A girl like her ought to have at least one flaw. She came up in a country way. Mama tried an amazing grace. Driving daddy's old pickup truck. What's not to love, yeah. There ain't no holding a girl like that. She goes zero up to sexy and nothing flat. Don't throw no drama, no small town shade. Yes, she got game, but man, that girl don't play. She came up in a country way. Mama tried an amazing grace. Driving daddy's old pickup truck. She gets off on a Friday night. Puts them jeans on nice and tight. Goes on down till the sun comes up. Not
Tim Elliott, What's Not to Love, and we're talking with Tim today on the Campfire Cafe. And Tim, when did you first come to Nashville? When did you wet your feet in the Nashville waters?
The first time I came to Nashville, I guess it's been about 7 years ago, I guess, was my first dip in the whole Nashville scene. We had a band that was touring pretty good, and we had started doing some stuff down at Tootsie's, you know, some midday stuff, some late afternoon stuff, and actually had played a show at Tootsie's and came out, was walking down Broad, and I might have been 2nd Avenue, 3rd Avenue, somewhere down there. We were turning up to go to the car and heard a guy singing, and I was like, man, that's really good. I expected it, you know, it's coming out of one of the honky-tonks or something, you know, that's just kind of what I expected. And we turned the corner, and there was just an obvious homeless guy there.
Wow.
Just as good as anybody I've ever heard. And it just really, really scared me to death, you know, because we just had came off stage and was on that, you know, the high you get of performing. And then, of course, you come out, you're in Nashville, you're at Tootsie's, you're right beside the Rhyme, and it's just this whole... You know, it's just really hard to describe it as an artist. The first time you play one of those historic honky tonks and being that close to the heartbeat of it all, you just kind of get consumed by this whole energy. And for whatever reason, man, it just really scared me to death. And I said, man, because that guy obviously had, at least in my head, the guy had obviously came to town and give it literally everything he had, and it just didn't work. And it was obvious. Not because of lack of talent, you know, for whatever reason. So I decided at that point I needed to try to find a different road. You know, I came back home to North Carolina and kind of put the guitar down for, almost 5 years, I guess.
Wow.
Just put it down and started focusing on, businesses that I had started and really trying to build a foundation that would give me a better financial backing to pursue music, I guess you could say, you know, and come up with what I thought was a plan. I had no idea if it would work or not, but I came up with something anyway and just stuck to my guns, you know, and then really started focusing back on music about 3 years ago. 3.5, 4 years ago, something like that, and started touring a lot, and just got lucky and ran into the right people, and they really liked what I had going on, and decided to really stand behind me and believe in me and the product and the music, and here we are, 2 years later, with our first top 40 song on Music Row. It's pretty incredible.
That is pretty incredible. It is pretty, and it is pretty frightening when you see people out on the street that are so good. You know, you try to decide, is this really for me? And is this something I want to do? And I think going back home and coming back with a plan probably was the right thing for you to do, wasn't it?
Well, it seems to be at this point. And ask me that in 10 years, I may have a different answer. at this point, it seems pretty good. You know, 2 years ago when we first signed and got everything going in town, if you said, hey, man, in 24 months, you're going to land your first top 40 record on Music Row, I'd have said, man, you're crazy. There's no way. And dang if we ain't consecutively charted 3 singles back-to-back, and What's Not to Love just broke over 1 million streams on Spotify alone a couple months ago. And
oh, wow.
And here we are with the first top 40. Yeah, it's been a pretty incredible journey to this point, for sure.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this first top 40. It's one called I Got You. And so tell us a little bit about that song.
This song, once I got back to Nashville, this was actually the very first co-write that I went to. And it was a friend of mine, Bill D, Bill DeLuigi, and I had, the very first time we'd ever met, really. We just kind of knew each other through acquaintances. And we sat down at the write and said, you know, what do we want to write about? And we kind of talked about, you know, trying to come up with an idea of something that we thought that the people in our lives wanted to hear most, you know, something that's, you know, everybody says every day, but nobody really, really puts that much meaning behind it. You know, if somebody says, oh, don't worry, I got you. We took I Got You and tried to come up with a song that could connect, you know, with folks on an everyday level, you know, just to that. And most importantly, hopefully it would just make somebody stop for just a minute and just tell whomever it is in their life that they love that, you know what, I got you. It's okay. I got you. You know, and bring home a cheap bottle of wine or a cheap bottle of whatever, or don't even have to do that. Just put on some music or just dance around to no music around the kitchen. You know, it's or the living room, as the song says. It's just sometimes those simple things in life can carry so much more meaning than anything you could possibly buy, you know, with money.
Right, right. Well, let's take a listen to I Got You and come back and talk more with Tim in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
You're in the mood for red or for white. I got you a playlist of your favorites that I made, from Carolina in my mind to Purple Rain. I just want to spend some time with you, dance you all around the living room. If you need some arms to fall into, baby, I got you. Tell me all your crazy someday dreams. I'll kiss you till you tell me everything. Ask me for anything, please, baby, I got you. I got you at least 100 pictures on my phone. It's hard to pick which one I like most. I got you in the songs that I sing and prayers I pray. I got you in every single way. I just want to spend some time with you, you all around the living room. If you need some arms to fall into, baby, I got you. Tell me all your crazy someday dreams. I'll kiss you till you tell me everything. Ask me for anything, please, baby, I got you. You turn the head some time with you, dance you all around the living room, spin you down the hall to our bedroom, baby, I got you. Whisper all your crazy fantasies, I'll kiss you till you tell me everything.
I got you, Tim Elliott, and we're talking with Tim today on the Campfire Cafe. Tim, as we were listening, as I was listening to that song, what is your writing process like, and how do you find folks to co-write with?
You got to have a click, you know. I've been in some co-writes that are just almost painful because you've got two different people from two different sides of the spectrum. I think you got to have some stuff in common, but not too much, if that makes any sense at all. Because, you know, when you get into a co-write, you know, you always kind of start with a character or you know, at least in my case, most of the songs that I write, I mean, some of them have personal connections in the song, of course, but most of the songs you hear, I think, are, you know, you get little pieces of different people's lives, and then they kind of patchwork together, you might say, and end up telling a really cool story. And the cool thing about co-writes is, you know, sometimes we'll go in and we'll come up with an idea, and we'll think, okay, this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a love song, you know, it's going to be a ballad type love song. And by the end of the co-write, it's an up-tempo, I'm glad you're gone song. So it's always fun to see how, you know, how the song kind of takes its own shape as the, you know, as the write continues through there. And it's just really neat, you know, because like I say, you just take little pieces of whoever the co-write, whoever you're writing with, you know, everybody's got a little piece of their life that they drop in there, and it really comes together to be something cool.
Yeah, yeah. Now, some people like to co-write. Some people prefer to write music on their own, and then some people do a combination of those two. What about you? Do you prefer to co-write or do a song on your own?
You know, I really enjoy co-writes. You know, I've got several folks out in Nashville, my buddy Jake Clayton and Rob Daniels and Bill D. And, I mean, there's just several folks out there that I write with that are – I really enjoy seeing them and hanging out with them, and I really enjoy the stuff that we come up with at the end of the co-writes. But I also enjoy, you know, doing stuff on my own. But I guess if I had a choice, it'd probably be co-writes for me, because I just – like I say, I like seeing how songs and stories come together from – different people's, you know, aspects of their life.
Yeah, yeah. So do you come in with several ideas for several different songs? Do you work on one song at a time? And how do you capture those thoughts?
Well, a lot of time you'll be driving around or riding on the bus or mowing a yard or on a tractor or whatever, you know, wherever you may be, and I might think of a hook or you know, a neat way to say a line or a neat way to connect a word together, and I just stick it in my phone, either in notes or in the little voice recorder thing, and then when you know, when I go to into a co-write, everybody kind of has three or four different ideas or three or four different hooks, and everybody will kind of throw them out there, and then we all kind of pick one out of the pile and say, that sounds pretty cool, let's try this.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you come up with the lyrics first, or do you come up with the melodies first, or how does that work for you?
Most of the time with us, it's the lyrics. Most of the time we'll start with a hook and then kind of decide, or at least attempt to decide which direction it's going to go, whether it's going to be a ballad or a up-tempo song, or, you know, what it's going to be, and then kind of start with just a really basic chord progression, whatever chord we think it might go in, and kind of start from there. For us, it's mainly come up with the lyrics and the hooks and then kind of put the music on top of that.
Yeah, it's always interesting to talk to songwriters to find out, because everybody has their own way to do things. The folks that are real lucky are the ones that have a dream and then they wake up and they write the lyrics and the music at the same time. So, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And when it comes out to be a number one hit, that is a pretty cool thing. So, fun stuff. We want to get to another song right now, and this is one called "Start Pouring Whiskey on It." It's by Tim Elliott. Let's listen to that and come back and talk more with Tim in just a moment.
We've been working all week, and we finally made it to the weekend. Yeah, we're barely on our feet, and feel like jumping off the deep end. We had a couple beers, and our backs still hurt. We'll have a couple more, and if that don't work, we'll all be laughing.
sits in the corner, but he's finally up and dancing. Yeah, he's talking it up, trying to light up a little romance. That little barbie at the bar has never looked at him twice. But crazy things can happen when the tall glass of ice. When you start pouring whiskey on it, it sure feels better, don't it? Set him up again, doggone it. But he's friends.
Somebody give me some Jack B or something. My back is killing me.
Start pouring whiskey on it. I kind of like that. You know, I didn't mention as we were starting the show, but Saturday is Cinco de Mayo. And so people are going to be celebrating that all over America. And then it's also a place where they have a lot of that whiskey, and that's going to be at the Kentucky Derby. So they're running the 144th of the edition of the Kentucky Derby this weekend. So there may be just a little whiskey round up there too.
Yeah, there's plenty of whiskey in Kentucky, that's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of that bourbon whiskey up there. But you ever been to the Kentucky Derby?
I have not. I have not. I've never been to the Derby. It's one of those bucket kind of things. But
yeah, everybody needs to go at least once, and I've done that. So I was in the infield with about 100,000 other young folks at the time, I think, for the 100th. Running of the Kentucky Derby, so it's kind of hard for me to imagine that this is the 144th that's coming up this Saturday. But yeah, we may be watching that again this year, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So you have a new project that you're working on, and is this going to be your first EP?
It is, yeah. It'll be my first ever EP.
So what can we expect?
Well, the you know, when we went in to record this project, the main focus was the fans that come to our shows. You know, I really wanted to pick songs and write songs that I thought would connect really well in our live show, and also kind of, you know, wanted to take the, you know, the listener kind of on a bit of a journey, you know, where each song sounds substantially different from the other song. You know, you've got songs like What's Not to Love, which is really in your face and very contemporary country rocking kind of stuff, and then you have Start Pouring Whiskey on It, which is definitely a kind of my throwback to the 90s country era, you know, that 80s, 90s country rock mix kind of stuff. Kind of just a good old-fashioned honky-tonk song. But there's a lot of different songs on there that hopefully will provide some pretty unique ear candy for whoever's listening to the record.
Yeah. Now, when can we expect it? So I know it's not ready now, but when what's your timeline? When can we be looking for that?
We are hoping it's going to be early midsummer of this year. That's the tentative release date right now.
Okay. All right. So now I know that you have a great website, and why don't you go ahead and tell us what your website is now?
You can hit us up online at timelliottlive.com.
All right, timelliottlive.com. And we were talking a little bit about during the break about how important it is to relate to your fans. And you've got a great Facebook page, and I know that you really interact with folks there. How important has Facebook and Instagram and any other social media been to you as far as an artist?
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure a lot of people agree with me, it's definitely changed the world. And it's absolutely changed the music industry, you know, as far as being able to, you know, not only as an artist, but as a fan, to be able to go out and find music you like and find, you know, obscure artists that otherwise you may not hear on mainstream radio. But as an artist, it's really cool to have that, I mean, literally direct connection with your fans, you know, and you can kind of get feedback on shows and songs and, you know, and finding different areas and venues where you have fans that you've never played. And then the really cool part is when fans reach out and tell you how your music has connected with them, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And that's, to me, that's really cool, just to have a direct line of communication with your fans. You know, some, most of it's good, but, you know, sometimes you get some pretty mad ones on there. But for the most part, you know, we've all had a couple of crazies around, but for the most part, it's really cool to be able to connect with your fans on a one-on-one basis.
Well, it is, and to be able to have some conversation online and talk with those fans is pretty cool deal. And I know that you posted this show that you were going to be on today, and there's several of your fans that have reshared that, and so that's kind of a cool thing because I know they're listening today, and that's pretty neat. So where are you touring? Where are you going to be this weekend?
This Saturday we are going to be in Mocksville, North Carolina, at the Daniel Boone Family Festival, which is kind of a town festival. The whole town shuts down, and there's all kinds of events and food and kids activities and live music all day long. And I think music kicks off at 12, and our show starts at 6:45 Saturday evening. And then next week we head down to Myrtle Beach for the kickoff of the spring bike rally, which is always a ton of fun. We'll be down there at the Little Beaver Bar for the kickoff weekend of the spring rally. And then the following weekend we go back down to North Myrtle Beach, which is cool, for Ducks, which is one of our favorite little venues down there right on Ocean Drive. Just a super cool little place. And of course, all the Bike Week festivities are going on all week, so it'll be a lot of fun. But we have a ton of good shows. We've got Uncle Sam Jam coming up down in South Carolina for the 4th of July. We've got an offer to go back to Sturgis again this year, which is always a lot of fun to go to Sturgis and see the rally out there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you were just named, and I mentioned this earlier, but you were named Carolina's Male Artist of the Year, and I think 2 years in a row.
Yeah, the first time I got nominated for that, yeah, I was just such an honor to be nominated, you know, because it's your fans have to nominate you. It's not, you know, it's not like an award show panel picks the nominees, you know, that your fans have to email and take time to nominate you. And I forget, I think they said they had like 300,000 or some entries. I forget. It was just really crazy how many they had. But just to be nominated was an honor, you know, because we live in such a hotbed here in the Carolinas of artists, you know, from rock and hip hop and country and just pretty much, especially the country genre, you know, it's such a hotbed for artists here. There's just so many amazing artists. So again, just to be nominated was amazing, but then to have won it and then won it again, it's really humbling, you know, because it's a fan voted award. You know, your fans have to nominate you, your fans have to vote for you once you get nominated, and then the award show panel kind of, I'm not sure exactly how all that works, but I know fans are a huge part of it, so I just can't thank all the folks out there who take time to nominate me for stuff like that. It's really cool.
Well, it is cool. And again, congratulations on 2 years in a row for that award. So that is a pretty cool deal. But Tim, you have been a really good guest, and we look forward to having you back and playing more of your music and sharing that with our audience out there. Give us your website again one more time.
You can hit us up online at timelliottlive.com or on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Tim Elliott Music.
Okay, and can they purchase some of your singles now?
Yeah, the singles, Dark Horn Whiskey on It, What's Not to Love, and I Got You are all out there. Anywhere you buy digital music, you can download it. If you come to a show, you can actually pick up an old-school physical CD, which is kind of going by the way of the cassette these days, but we still keep a few of them on the phone. So you can download it anywhere, Apple or Amazon or Google or wherever you find music, you can find it and download it, or you can stream it on any of the streaming sites. It's definitely out there.
All right. Well, listen, Tim, thanks so much. Good luck with your shows this weekend and throughout the season. You going to be in Nashville anytime soon?
Yeah, we're going to be in Nashville for CMA Fest. We have a show at the Music City, the new Civic, what's it called? I can't think of what it's called. The new Music City Center. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. So that should be a lot of fun. Yeah, have you done CMA a couple of years already?
Yeah, we done CMA year before last. We were on the Hard Rock stage, and then last year we were at CCMF, which is Carolina Country Music Fest. Last year we were down there with Derek Trucker and Billy Currington and some folks at South Carolina. So this year we're going back to Nashville for CMA Fest. So it's always a ton of fun out there. Ton of fun.
It is a ton of fun. So anyway, well, thank you so much again for being with us today, and the website is timelliottlive.com. Be able to pick up some music there as well as all of your other normal media. So, Tim, thanks so much for being with us.
Gary, thanks so much for having me on, man, and thanks for the support, man. I really do appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot. So we're going to take a listen to this from Carol Markstrom. We'll come back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Is an angel, baby. It makes you wanna fly. Love is an angel, baby. Holds you strong against the This feeling is stronger than ever, pulling us back together. We've both been here before. Keep coming back for more. We held out till we gave in. Here it comes. Let's fall in love again. We held out till we gave.
Love is an Angel, Carol Markstrom, a great song from her. And it was so much fun talking with Tim Elliott today. My first chance to get to meet him was actually on the air today. So great guy, very talented young man. And be sure and catch him at a show where you can. His website, timelliottlive.com. And that kind of wraps things up for us on the Campfire Cafe today. Again, we wish our co-host, Bobby Bell, that she gets well soon, and we look forward to having her with us again next week. And we look forward to having you join us for the Campfire Cafe beginning at noon Central Standard Time, and it's followed up by Saddle Up America right after the Campfire Cafe. And if you're listening today, Backcountry Horsemen of America and Mr. Jim McGarvey with his special guests are joining us. So if you're on our website, just click on the next box to listen to that. And we look forward to getting your feedback as always. So we want to remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equine Legacy Radio with the Campfire Cafe and Saddle Up America. And we'll close out the show today with a young lady that was a guest a few months ago on the show, Miss Sandra Lynn, and her song, Fight. Thanks for listening.
I'm gonna count to 10 underneath my breath. Give you one last chance to stop me. Yeah, I know, I said I wanna go. Guess I'm hoping you won't let me. I wish you'd fall.
Don't!
underneath my breath. Give you one last chance to stop me.